Psalm 128, when you find that, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. May the Lord add His richest blessing to the reading of this old book this morning in the hearing of our ears, and may He give grace to every heart. I appreciate the good spirit in the house of God, the good worship, the good smile, the tears and the snot, and I trust in the next few minutes that the Lord will seal our hearts in His Word and do great and mighty things for us and help us to behold wondrous things out of His law that will bring joy to our hearts, blessing to our families, and glory to His wonderful, wonderful name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God today. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to preach and for Your people that are here. I pray now that You'll touch this vessel of clay one more time by Your eternal Spirit and fill me with holy power and anoint me with fresh oil and provide the happy liberty and the wisdom and the grace and the glory that is needed this morning to preach the Word of God. Would You please save some old sinner that's a wobbling, Lord, down through this life looking for joy, but he hadn't found it yet in this world and shall not. But, Lord, he can find it at Calvary, and I pray that You'll direct his path that way today. Help Your people, bless them, bless every home that's represented in this place, and give us grace today to glorify the precious name of the Son of God, and we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. My thought this morning is a statement that is found in verse number 2. In the latter part of that verse, or the second half of it, where the psalmist says, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thy soul. I want to try this morning to preach this entire psalm, if God will help me, and preach on the thought of family happiness. God has sanctified the family and set it apart as a place of love, grace, and tranquility. And it's there in the family structure, in the home, that God desires happiness to rule and reign. I'll tell you, there's not many happy families in the world today. Most homes are filled with grief and sorrow, and the reason they are is because they've missed God's plan for a happy and a holy life in that family. I won't say there's nothing like a happy family. The privilege that we men have of going home from a day's work and finding a safe haven of rest, apart from the sin and the hoopla that's in the world, to a place where we can rest with our wives, our children, find grace from God, and real happiness in our soul in being there. A man once said that youth is a blunder. Manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret. I tell you, that's a sad view of life in that way. But I tell you, it may be very true if that life is separated from godliness. I want to say by way of introduction that the only way that your home can be as happy as God intends for it to be is for daddy to be saved by the grace of God. I tell you, that's the first and the foremost thing that God recommends, is for the man in the home to be saved by the good grace of God. And then it ought to follow in suit. He ought to have a wife that's been to Calvary, that knows what it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to find her place in the home, and to live there to the honor and to the glory of Almighty God. I tell you, like I said, that's a sad statement. If that home is without godliness, it's certainly not true, though, to a home that is allied with godliness. I'm talking about a home that has made their safe haven of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have set out to live a holy and a godly life. May I say to you tonight that there is no happiness apart from holiness. You cannot be happy in your heart, be unregenerate in your spirit, my friend. It's an impossibility. But with holiness comes happiness. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Praise God, I'm happier today than a hog-eating slop on the lower end of the barrel. I'm going to tell you why. Because I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I live with a wife that knows what it means to have her sins under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's found her place in the home and made a happy estate out of our life for the honor and the glory of Almighty God. But you cannot be happy living a life of sin. Just look back at where you were out in your life when God found you. Some of you in here today were nothing but just a bunch of old ragtag, sorry, sorry drunks that wouldn't know God from Adam's house 10. And you thought in the flesh you're the heaven son. But there came a day when you met a man by the name of Jesus, and your worldly pleasure went out the window, and you finally realized what heavenly holy joy is all about, having your sins under the blood, having assurance of heaven, knowing, my friend, that your destination is in the bosom of God, and you're filled by the Spirit of God by the day of redemption, and you're going to heaven whether the devil likes it or whether he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I tell you, let there be life and godliness, and youth is not a blunder, but it's a wise purpose and a glowing hope. I want to say, wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, my friend, according to the Word of God. Yes, sir, I'll say to our young people in here this morning that a life without God may very well turn out to be a blunder. But I'm going to tell you what, young folk, I tell you, you can have a wise life and a glorious hope if you'll set your affection on Jesus while you're young. Amen to God. Lay aside your sin and live for the glory and the honor of God. But if you set out on a pathway of sin and sorrow, it may very well lead you to the grave without God and without hope, and you'll spend eternity in a hell without God. Amen. Somebody said, you don't understand, young people. Well, you dumber than a box of rocks. Just because I'm 52 years old don't mean I have not lived at the age of 16, 17, 18. I know exactly what's going through your little bum-puzzled mind right now. Yeah, that's right. You think to be a Christian is to be an old fogey. And if you're a Christian, you can't have any fun. I've got news for you, friend. Amen to God, I had more fun in 5 minutes sitting on that bench watching these men shout and these women cry than you'll have in eternity. That's right. I'm telling you, there's joy in knowing God in the free pardon of sin, and we ought to carry that joy and happiness all down to the household, and we will if the young folks are right in the eyes of God. They'll be like vines, like olive vines around your table if they save by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Don't you young people get the idea that Brother Hall is an old fogey-dogey life. Son, I have a time. I've been set at liberty. Oh, some of you can't wait to get away from home. I want to get away from home where I can have liberty. You get away from home, you'll find yourself hanging in real bondage. You get to fighting for yourself, honey, raising your own family, making your own home, providing your own way, you'll find out you had it a whole lot better in the house than at mom and daddy's house than what you ever thought you had it. There ain't nothing like home where daddy is right with God, where mom is saved by the grace of God, and where the children have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to give grace unto that family. Hallelujah. I could say there's some family men in here this morning. I'd let them stand and testify that there ain't nothing like what they got right now. You don't have to come in wearing a baseball protective mask. Afraid mama's going to hit you upside the head with a jar of pickles because you've been pickled. But I tell you, you can both now come to the house of God and get pickled on the Holy Ghost and go to home drunk together and rejoice and having a good drink of wine from the fountain of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Right, ain't it? Some of them here this morning will go home pickled on God, and some of you will go home pickled on anger and hatred. That's right. I'll tell you, manhood's not a struggle either. It's a conquest and a joy. Buddy, I'm not struggling. I'm enjoying watching the Holy Ghost conquer that sin in my life. Overcome every obstacle that this world may oppose me with. Amen. Every temptation that the devil may throw in front of me. It's like a high hurdle race, and some the higher the hurdles the devil sets, the higher I leap. I'm telling you, I've done read in the Psalms where David said he'll cause us to run through a troop and to leap over a wall. I'm telling you, friend, if you're saved, you've got strength in your feet. You can leap over every obstacle that the devil may put in your path this morning. I tell you, jump over it, shout while you're going over it, carry the shout down to the house and shout in the living room, in the bedroom, in the dining room, in the bathroom. Just shout down to have the God and worship Him. Amen. And old age is not a regret. Old age is a rich memory and a glorious prospect. Son, when I look back, I'll tell you I've got some rich memories. And if I begin to tell you all about all of them, we never would get out of church today. Huh? It's like the singing governor said, "Son, I've had a good trip." The boy said, "Betty, what are you crying for?" He said, "Oh, it's just memories, son. Just memories." I'm telling you, friend, you're looking at a preacher this morning that's had a good trip, is having a good trip, and intends to have a good trip. Hallelujah to God. I've got a lot of good memories. I remember the day Miss Hall and I walked down the aisle, and she'd give her hand in marriage. But I remember the morning we walked down the aisle and got married to Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you, I can live on that in a while. Amen to God. Oh, yes, I remember three trips that carried me to the hospital. There I saw a doctor, a nurse, carry out three little bundles of joy that brought nothing but happiness and blessing to the whole household. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, who laboreth with his hands. His wife is like a fruitful vine. Amen to God. His children are like plants around an olive bush, around his table. Hallelujah to God. I can tell you about some happy events. I'll never forget the event tonight God called me to preach. There's been happy times with our children. 25 trips to the hospital wondering when a grandchild was going to be born. And then the happiness of seeing old Baldy over there. And the other one up in, you know what I'm talking about, y'all can laugh, it'll be all right. And old Steve in Minnesota, as they walk through them doors with a smile on their face, busting their buttons because a man child or a girl child had been brought into the world with them. And they were carrying that baby home to a saved household where it would be like a vine around their table and supply joy and happiness in the house of God. Amen. Nothing like it, buddy. I've seen that happen or heard tell of it 9 times. And there ain't nothing like it. They thought they were having fun, but I'm going to tell you down deep on the inside, Grandpa was having fun. Because I'd already read Psalm 128 where the Lord had said, "Thou shalt see thy children's children." Hallelujah to God. He had already told me I was going to see them down the road. What a glorious prospect in growing old. But I'm going to tell you what beats that. The fact that the circle shall not be broken on the other side. Oh, that's not a dread growing old. My friend, that's a happy occasion to be able to fall upon my knees and cry out to God to show mercy, not in the lives of my children, because they're saving in the lives of my grandbabies, my children's children, that the family circle shall not be broken on the other side. I admit sometimes they get on my nerves. When they all, 15 of them, come in and they running in and out and throwing candy bars all over the floors, trying to chase tomcats on the outside, riding bicycles over humps of dirt and throwing themselves head over heels. I tell you, they're some memories, friend. And it's not all the time. I get a little perturbed. But when I look back at it, what a glorious time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is nothing any more blessed that brings any more happiness than when the family comes home. All 17 of us, hallelujah to God. Amen! And sit down around the table at the whole household and reminisce about old times and thank God for one another's lives and to praise Jesus for being good to our family. I'm telling you, friend, that God wants happiness in your family today. I know that's right. The psalm was probably sung by Jewish people at the time of marriage and was intended to express the joy and the happiness that can be found when the home is managed upon godly principles. Amen. Today they get married and they want to sing some old stinking secular song. And I'm going to tell you what troubles my heart is when so-called saved people want to incorporate worldly music into their marital vows. Son, that's as ungodly as the devil. You can like that, lump that, hump that, or bump that. Amen to God. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. If our marriage is consummated in Christ, then what's wrong with having God-honoring gospel music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs being sang, my friend, at the marriage? I'll tell you one's worse than that, singing secular music at funerals. Setting cans of beer in caskets. Sticking cigarettes in the mouth of dead corpses, putting leather jackets on them, and motorcycle emblems, and raising hell on their arms. And I'm telling you what, friends, we live in a sad, sad day. Amen. I don't tell folks to look at that and leave a funeral home with any joy at all. How in the world could you leave the altar having sang a song, "I met her on a bar stool"? I'm telling you, hey, chances are you meet her on a bar stool. Unless you both get right with God, you'll lose her. To some dude sitting on a bar stool someday. Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got away from the beer altar and got down to God's holy altar. Amen. I'm glad I got away from where they found blue ribbon and found me a prize ribbon in the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. I'm just saying I'm glad. Thanks be unto God. I'm so thrilled in my heart today that I've been to Calvary and know the Lord, and I'm able to rejoice that at the house and that at the house of God. Now, I'm fixing to say a few things that probably hurt some of you. Now, somebody says, "Brother Hall, how do we have a happy family?" Again, verse 1. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." I want to say to you, friend, that the fear of the Lord is the cornerstone of all blessedness. Huh? And we must reverence the ever-blessed God before He will ever bless us. I'm simply saying that the husband, if they're going to be joy in that house and a happy family, that husband is going to have to learn the fear of the Lord. Amen. And I'm not talking about the kind of fear where you're afraid of dying or afraid of going to jail. I am talking about a reverential trust in the Lord Jesus to take care of you and your family from beginning until end. Hallelujah to God. That's right. How in heaven's name can your wife be stable and have any joy if you all the time flip-floppy, don't have any stability about you at all? You're like Reuben, you're as unstable as water, and your wife, being a weaker vessel, has got to have somebody to lean upon, and you, like a sorry rascal, ain't got no more stability at all. You never trust in God, and you prove it out by your life. For the next verse says that the blessed of the Lord, they will walk in His ways. Now I'm telling you, my friend, a man that has the Lord in his heart will get Jesus in his feet, and he'll not only follow Him, my friend, with outward expression, but by the things that he accomplishes in life for the glory of God. He will walk in the ways of the Lord. He'll read his Bible. He'll pray. He'll worship. He'll tithe. He'll be a husband. He'll be a leader. If he's got a reverential trust of God, he will seek. If he's got a reverential trust of God, he will seek to please God. He will submit to His obedience, and there will be a fear in his heart of offending a holy God. I'm telling you, some men live today like there is no fear of God, because it does not bother them to offend the holy God. Don't tell me you've got a reverential fear of God if there's no fear in your heart of offending God. And I'm telling you, my friend, if there's no fear of offending God, there cannot be happiness in the home. Or you might have a little occasional spurt. But I'm talking about a happy spirit down at the house of God. I'm not talking about not having any little complications. Every couple, you hear me now, every married couple, there's going to be times when that woman, she just ain't going to be right with God. No, there's going to be times when you have a little disagreement. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, if there's a reverential fear of God in your heart, you won't mind setting down like rational people and working out that problem for fear that chastisement and judgment may fall upon your family, and woe be unto the family, my friend, that sojourns in Moab. They may lose more than they want to lose when they get down there. That's right. Seek to please Him. Submit to His obedience. There'll be a fear of offending Him. He'll walk in the ways of the Lord. And by the way, that is the pathway of blessing. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. My friend, I'm telling you, that is a wonderful way for a child of God to travel, is the ways of the Lord. You know why? I'm going to tell you, because they're paved with present blessings. If you'll fear God and walk in His ways, that street, that pathway is paved, my friend, with present blessings of life. Holy Samole. He loadeth us down every day with benefits, glory to God. What blessing. But God, who is rich in mercy, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What was it old Boaz told his reapers? Said, just drop a few handfuls and drop them on purpose. Said, I've got a little old Gentile girl going to be coming along this way, and said, I want to make sure that you find the blessing. He didn't say hide it, camouflage it, stick it under a bushel, put it somewhere where she can't find it. But Boaz said that girl is going to be gleaning right in this field, in this row. I want you to drop a handful right there where if she was blind, she'd have to stumble over. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I've had so many blessings from God that if I was blind, I believe I'd have stumbled over some of them. Huh? That's right. God's been good to this old boy. Been good to y'all, too. How many of you in here this morning got your family in church? Raise your hand up. Ain't that a blessing? Have you got your whole family in church? Raise your hand up! Ain't that wonderful? You got your family in here. Get your hand up. That's your family now. For this reason shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. I'm going to tell you, when you all got married, you cut ties from your daddy, and you cut ties from your mama. And if you didn't, you cannot be happy in God. I can't expect God to bless me or bless somebody else or bless me what somebody else is doing. You're going to have to make a home for yourself that God's given you and that woman and those kids that live there by themselves, and make the best of the blessings of God right there. Well, if I look back on my whole life, my family, by the way, my brother have a liver transplanting home, doing great, said the best they'd ever seen anybody do. 7 days and he was out of the hospital. Home. Takes medicine, costs $2,000 a month for him to take it. You got to take it every day. Huh? Taking oxygen. He said he was losing weight 5, 6, 7 pounds a day. I'm going to tell you why. That new liver, buddy's putting that fluid off of him, getting that waste out of his body like it's supposed to. But I'll tell you, if I went back to that family, I couldn't say my family's in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, hey, that ain't my family. On January the 15th of the year 1967, I walked down the aisle of the Underwood United Methodist Church, or I did, and I waited out in that little foyer with a Marlboro, nervous. But my little bride walked down that aisle of that church that morning, and when I said, I do, my ties was severed from mommy and daddy. That became my family. And lo and behold, a year and a half down the road, I was outside of playing wiffle ball with her brothers, and her mama come out there and said, I think you better take Brenda. I was dumb, didn't know nothing like some of you. Her mama come out there and said, I think you better take Brenda to the hospital. And said, I think he's getting ready to have a baby. I said, well, I didn't get no big hurry. But within 2 hours, at about 4:15, lo and behold, Lisa Michelle Hall, another member of my family, now got three. Then, oh, that was July the 11th, 1968. And on February the 26th, 1970, I come in from work, been called, the baby was being born, I missed her by 2 hours, but I come in, there was Tammy already in the nursery. Tammy Lynn Hall come into the world and another member of my family. Are you listening to me? Then on that May the 11th of 1974, in a mad dash, my friend down aisle 65, running out, running the law, jumping sidewalks and curbs to the emergency room, and up the elevator, and down the hallway, a nurse said, "There's your boy!" Now I'm going to tell you, another round of joy had flooded the whole household, and my family, my friend, was set in motion for a few years. Them other people are not my family. I love them. My mom and daddy in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't the family Jesus talked about in Psalm 128. I don't eat at their table no more. I'm not married to my mother. I'm married to her. I am not a vine around my daddy's table no longer. These kids were vines around my table. And now some of them have got vines around their table. Some of you have got vines around your table. And you're raising a family. Then I'm not going to stand here and go through all of them, but almost like untimely figs. 9 grandchildren. My God, it's like the stars falling out of their sockets. It's like the woes of Revelation. Behold, one woe passes and another woe cometh quickly. Now I tell you, God that openeth and closeth the womb never closed it. He just left it open. And 9 of them run out into my family. And more joy in the whole household. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Huh? Present blessings down that path. That pathway will lead to eternal blessedness. Amen to God. Home with Jesus forever. And I'm going to say this, that path was trodden by He from whom all blessings flow, our Lord Jesus. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Every blessing that you have, every ounce of joy in your home will come because Jesus loved you, died for you, rose again for you, justified you, washed you, bathed you, cleansed you, sanctified you, secured you, coming again for you, calling you home to Himself. Hallelujah, eternal blessedness in the presence of God. Amen. Not only does a man walk in the ways of the Lord, but he works to provide their portion. Bunch of sorry egg suckers today don't want to work. Listen to what it says. Thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands, and happy thou shalt be. Now I'm going to tell you something. There can't be any joy in a home where there's a man that's too lazy to work and provide his portion for the Lord. Now get this now. And it does not matter whether you earn your living by the sweat of your brow or the sweat of your brain. The blessing remains the same. The thought there is providing for your family. Look here, and some of you in here, look now, listen to Brother Hall. Some of you in here work on a job that is physically rigorous. And you earn by the sweat of your brow. There may be others, and brother, you know Brother Hall studies. I don't get out on a secular job, but I try to use my heart and my brain and preach and prepare, try to run the ministry. I may not be making my living by the sweat of my brow in the same fashion that some of you are. Some of you may not be doing it the same fashion some of the others are. But the blessing is the same. And He did not put a premium on how much you earn by the sweat of your brow, the sweat of your brain. He just said by the labor of your hands. I'm telling you, buddy, there's just something about leaving for work and coming home in the morning. And by the way, in the evening, and by the way, when you get there, honey child is ready for you. Her hair is not in tin cans, bless God. She's not watched the soap operas all day, but she's like a fruitful vine for the walls of your house. Amen. She's like a virtuous woman, my friend, that puts her hands to the spindle and provide for a family while it is yet day before it turns day outside. You hear what I'm saying? She's not afraid of the winter, for she's decked her children in purple. She's a lady of the house. She's a homebody. She's not out flagging traffic wearing a hard helmet. And she's not down at the factory, bless God, letting men pinch her on the butt all the time. Don't tell me that mess don't go on. Amen. Now, let's look here. The husband fears the Lord, and he is happy. The wife finds her place in life, and she is happy. Now, we ain't done preaching, so I ain't no need it. Oh, no, we're going slow and easy today. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies, there'll never be a happy home until the women find their place in the home. And until the men let them have their place in the home. Well, now, honey, you know you just don't have to go to work now. We got to have a little bit more money. I got to have a bass boat. And after all, we got to have this and we got to have that. The wife, it says in verse 3, shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. Don't say anything about being down out on the workforce, man, out flagging traffic with her short shorts on and her halter top and her bosom hanging out and men gawking at her all day. It ain't no wonder it's taken 5 years to get 3 miles of highway paved on the WK Parkway for all the men, women, and mixed mass that's out there trying to take care of them. They can't get anything done for looking at each other. I read an article in the paper the other day, the military might be finally waking up. Said the military generals and those in training positions said that it would not be right to permit adultery in the armed forces, and it would not be right to house men and women together. It cuts down on the morale, the power and the stability and everything else, and it has. And God never intended a woman to put on a pair of camouflage breeches, put an M16 over her shoulder. Now, I'm going to say something else. God never intended a woman to work outside the home in any form or fashion other than the work of God. And you can back me up. I'll back myself up on that. I can take you to Romans 16 where Paul exhorted the people of the Roman church to accept those women that had worked and labored with him. There's a number of women that ministered to the Lord Jesus. And by the way, if it hadn't have been for the women ministering to him, there wouldn't have been much ministering to him. I find that so in most Baptist churches today, by the way. She finds her place in life, and she is happy. Now, don't nobody leave me, because this is the part I've been wanting to get to, really. I told Miss Hall the day before we left, I said, honey, I'm going to bust your hide. Look what he says. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house. Now look here, what does a vine do? A vine provides clusters of grapes. It is productive. A fruitful vine and a happy home. How can a home be happy? Look here. Because the next statement is that their children shall be vines round about the table. How can the home be fully happy in God if there is no productivity from the womb of the woman? It just cannot be altogether. Now, don't nobody run out on me. I'm going to clarify some things that I said here in just a minute. That fruitful vine is providing children. That's right. Listen carefully. To complete our home or our domestic bliss, children are sent. They come as a lawful fruit of marriage, even as clusters appear upon the vine for the grapes the vine is planted, and for children the woman is provided. I feel sorry for women that get married and want to suck the pill down the first 3 days they're married, or start taking it a good 2 months before they get married to keep them from having kids. I'm telling you, friend, you are depriving yourself of the blessings of God. That's right. Children are a heritage of the Lord. I read some of this and I had to repent. I'm telling you that that marriage, that wife, is provided. Read back in Genesis, when sin entered into the world, the judgment upon the woman was that in travail and labor she would bring forth children. And I'm telling you what, friends, a woman that balks on that is balking against the will of God. Now, I'm going to get to the other side. There are women whose wombs literally have been shut up from children. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Huh? But I'm here to tell you, my friend, somebody said, oh, if we don't have any kids, we can be footloose and fancy free. That's worldly philosophy. Yeah. Reason those people don't want children, because they tie them down. That's the point I'm making. Hey, the woman is a keeper at home, and if she stays in the home, she'll keep the home, and she won't have any problem raising the young and in that home. Amen. She'll stay in her place. My mother raised 9 of us. 1 died. I looked out at my backyard the other day, me and Miss Hall. Miss Hall looked at it and she said, good night. She said, no grass. I said, well, look who sowed it, Benny. She said, no grass. I said, it reminds me of home when I was a boy. She said, how does it remind you of home? I said, 9 of us heathens kept it beat down. I am not lying. My mother used to sweep the backyard. No grass, buddy. Pitter-patter of 18 little feet scampering around in the backyard. Wore it slick, my friend, to the dog bone. Amen. No grass. But Mama stayed home, had children, and fulfilled her purpose in life. And the night she was dying, I saw her laying on her deathbed with a smile on her face, telling every child that was there, thank God for it, and she'd see them in glory if they had saved, and if they wasn't, it was her will for them to come to God. Huh? She's fruitful. Now, don't nobody leave me. Don't anybody leave me now. Don't look upon fruitfulness as a burden, but as a blessing. Huh? Now, she's not only fruitful, not only a fruitful vine, but and providing children, but as a fruitful vine, now this is the part I'm getting to, she can provide consolation and comfort. If God, for some reason, closes the womb of a woman that she can have no children, she can still be a fruitful vine in the house. Somebody said, how, Brother Hall? Let me explain to you. If you bear no children, they are by no means barren. They yield us the wine of consolation and the clusters of comfort. And there is nothing like the consolation of a woman in the home. Wouldn't it be a drag to go home in from work and drag out a stinking chicken pot pie and throw it in the microwave yourself and set there till a stupid pot pie cook, and then you sit down by yourself. Oh, isn't that wonderful and having fun? Oh, no. And you go in, you take your shine, you sit down, and you start reading your Bible, and there ain't nobody around, no wife, no kids. You go to bed and lay down. There's no wife. There's nothing there. You get up. I'm telling you, I honestly sympathize with Jerome. I really do. I sympathize with him, but I thank God for his faithfulness. But I'm here to tell you, that's not God's plan. And I'm telling you, even, and I don't suppose there's a woman in here that has not bore any children, but Angie and Sharon, that are married, but I'm here to tell you, and Angie Kane, I don't know the other deal, but I'm telling you right now, I'll tell you right now, that Angie can be a fruitful vine in the house through her affection, through her kindness, through her sympathy, through her love, through her work and labor in the home. She can be a fruitful individual in the home. Huh? Well, you take a woman that all she wants to do is complain and gripe and nag. And some of my best God, I'd like to knock her teeth out. And if I was married to one like that, I would. I'd lose it. I'd have to lose it. I'm telling you, I've been around some women, all they want to do is gripe. They gripe about this, they gripe about that. They moan, they groan, they complain, they rap, and they rage. are the choicest products that earth can yield. Our family, church, are gardens of the Lord. And God planted them in the earth to grow and to be a joyful place. Let me ask you something. What did God first assign Adam's job to? In the garden! Let me ask you something. How well are you tending the garden that's growing in your house? You've got a vine and you've got olive branches. Men, are you tending to them like God told you to? Are you cultivating them the way God told you to do? Are you working in the garden by the sweat of your brow to take care of your home, or are you a go-getter? Take her to work at 4-8 and go get her at 4. Cruise down and do a little fishing while she's out working. And when she comes home at night, by the way, she's got a babysit just to make enough money to run make ends meet. Because you've got to fish, a hunt. Set out at the gate with the boys and be spiritual. Hallelujah to God. We ain't done yet. She's not only a fruitful vine, but I've already mentioned this, she is a faithful homekeeper. My text tells me that the wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And I'll just throw this out. By the way, ladies, for your proud arrogance, I've done it my way. I'd rather fight and quit. And we're going to fight rather than switch attitude and all that stuff. My text, if you will read it, it's written to the man, and it says, thy house! And it says, thy wife! That puts them in the possessive form. In other words, that home and that woman are properties of that man. Amen! And if he's what he ought to be and she's what she ought to be, there will be joy and contentment and harmony, not bickering and fighting and fussing. That's right. By the way, ladies, if it hadn't have been for man, you wouldn't have been here. Because God took you out of Adam's rib. And if it hadn't have been for the woman, man, you wouldn't have been here. Because I don't know but one man that got here without a woman. That's Adam. Son, I'm enjoying this. Praise God, this is rich. Is there anything I preach in a long time? Faithful. She's a home bird. She keeps the home and so keeps the home. Now, you'll catch that after a while. She keeps the home, and so keeps the home. God never intended for some sorry man to lay around the house with an apron on and keep the home. And God never intended both of them to leave the home. If you do, I'm going to tell you what, friend, there will be no keeping the home. I read the other day, where 75% of marriages in America today are ending in divorce. I'm going to tell you why. Son, women's got to be out working their own person.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Bible says angels. I believe it was God. I believe it was an anopheles, an appearance of deity on the earth. Is that an anopheles? Is that what you call it? An anopheles? I forget. That's a spy. That's a mosquito. They were mosquitoes, praise God. Theophanes. Appearance of deity on the earth. Now listen, or you're going to miss it. When they came to Abraham and said, where's your wife? Abraham didn't say she's working down for Vincent Construction Company. Where's your wife? She's in the tent. The house, in the home, in the house. And that's where she ought to be there.
Amen.
And she can't be there dragging up and down the highway or running to Walmart or working on a job. She's got to be at the house. Boy, I'm telling you, some of you could bite a nail in there. Hallelujah to God. I'll give you the nail if you'll hang around a while. But now, don't miss this point, men. Ladies, this is one you can shout on. Have you ever seen a vine that could stand by itself? Vines need support. She's like a vine by the sides of the house. She's got to have some kind of support to hold her up. God have mercy on some bullheaded, pig-headed, thick-headed, faultless man that does not look at his wife as a weaker vessel and have patience and prudence with that woman and realize that she must have support in life. Gentlemen, a vine cannot produce laying on the ground. It's got to have something to climb on. Now I'm going to tell you, if you'll be that man in the home reverencing God and be a support that that woman, so to speak, can climb on, she'll be productive. If not, if you're weak and wish-washy and flim-flammy, don't you expect your wife to be anything but what you are. Huh? She is a vine by the sides of the house. The vine is chiefly an emblem of fruitfulness, but it also needs the support of some other structure in order to grow and to be fruitful. The vine, listen now, is exceedingly fragile, gentlemen. Last guys. That little old vine, if it's rained right, you can go outside, and all you got to do is just... You got a little watermelon vine, cantaloupe vine by the house, cucumber. All you got to do is just twist it. It's such a fragile thing. Now I'm going to tell you something, man, that woman's fragile. She's not some old gruff, ornery cuss like we are. But that's right. She is fragile. She's got feelings, ain't she, sweetheart? Huh? And them little fragile feelings can be hurt. And it would behoove us to be thoughtful of our wife as a weaker vessel. And I'm going to say they can't be a happy family and a happy home when mama's mad, everybody's mad, buddy. Huh? That's right, ain't it? So fragile and delicate. Her feelings, gentlemen, are much more tender than yours. You can take a whole lot more criticism than what she can. I first got married, I criticized the way she cooked. I criticized the way she ironed my clothes. I criticized the way she kept the house. I criticized everything that she done. Because I was military, dressed right dressed, fit shine shoes, wall locker, man, you got the handkerchiefs over here, and got the soap over here, and you got the shaving cream over here, and it's all dressed right dressed. I mean, standard attention, spits polished. And my wife ain't that weak. She carries her stuff back into her little closet. She's got a little old rack in there. I look at the rack, and I say, God, hell. She said the other day, she said, I lost my sunglasses. I didn't say a thing. You know, I was kind, but I thought down in my heart, I understand. She's fragile, folks, just like that little vine. And being fragile. Listen to this. The vine is exceedingly fragile. Therefore, the husband should remember that they ought to behave towards their wives patiently and prudently as with a weaker vessel, and not keeping in mind how fragile she is. Now listen, if you don't have to keep in mind how fragile she is, keep in mind how fruitful and how sweet the fruit is that she produces. You see, if you look beyond her fragility, how fragile she is, and look to the fruit and how sweet it is that she's producing, you'll treat her differently. Do you get that? Don't look at her. Look at the product. And think of how wonderful life would be, gentlemen, living by yourself. Or just think, fellas, you could have the blessing of being married to Hillary Clinton. Be wonderful, wouldn't it, to have a wife like that? Or what about Madeline Murray O'Hara? But look who God gives you, fellas.
And when that door swings open in the evening and she's standing there with a pot of beans cooking and taters on the stove and cornbread in the oven and a big puffer up. How can you not run from one room to your house and worship God and shout the praises of the victory? How can you not have a happiness in your family with a life set up like that? And I'm about to close. I've got one more thing, and I know it's a quarter after one. I got a lot further to drive today than you have. But the husband fears God and is happy. The wife finds her place in the home and she is happy. And then the children feed upon what the father has provided and they're happy. Now you young people need to get a hold of this. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Like thy children are like olive plants round about thy table. Now the best way that I can explain that. Well, I tell you what, I'll just explain it this way. I went out yesterday and set out a little old poppy bush that we had brought from the other house up there, and I set it out over the house. And I looked, you all know the big tree in front of the house everybody wanted Brother Hall to cut down. Cut it down. Well, Brother Steve, a while back, cut down one that was right there beside it. I mean, I'm talking about right beside it. Cut it down. But I let the old big one grow. But I looked, and I've noticed that where Steve cut that one down, little old shoots had started coming up by it. And they were getting taller and taller and taller. You know what they were doing, folks? Those little shoots were feeding off the strength and the energy of that stump that was in the ground. And I'm going to tell you what your children are about. If you're right with God, them children in your home will anchor themselves in your root. And they'll feed upon the root, the stump of Daddy. And look here, even when Daddy is growing old and his days of productivity are gone, those little sprouts will yet sprout up, drawing strength from that old dead stump in the ground. Those little shoots will sprout up. And look here. They will provide the fruitfulness that the old stump cannot provide anymore. You better hear what I'm saying, folks. That's what's wrong in America today now. And I'm closing. Too many families have not followed Psalm 128. And they've had a hellion for a mama and a sorry Arab for a daddy. And rather than those little sprouts growing up and providing the fruit that some of their daddies have, they can't. They can't do it. Now I'm going to tell you, and look here, I am not going to live forever. Brother Wayne, you ain't going to live forever. You other men, Steve, you men are not going to live forever. Doug, you ain't going to live forever. But what I'm saying is this. Leave them kids with something godly that they can anchor their roots in now. That when we're old and become unproductive in life anymore, that the roots, that the sprouts that have sprung up from our lives can begin to supply the same fruit in society and down to the house of God and carry on the tradition of the family. I don't know about the rest of you, but I tell you, old Brother Hall, and I'm just throwing this out at you, I sat in my bed the other night and hurt so bad I told Brenda, I said, honey, I am dying. She said, no, you're not. I said, God knows that I need you too much for you to die. And I honestly to God thought I was dying. I hurt so bad. But I am not going to live forever, folks, on this earth. If Jesus doesn't come, this old olive tree, my oil is going to run out, and I'm going to drop out of here. But as I grow older, my earnest desire is for these kids and these grandkids to sprout up out of this old stump. Praise God, that's right. And when I'm gone, if the Lord tarries, I'd like to be able to look over the battlements of heaven someday and see one of my grandchildren down here preaching the gospel of the grace of God. What joy, what happiness. Carried from the family to heaven itself. Nothing that has blessed me anymore to be able to look out over the battlements of glory and see Elizabeth and little old Boo Bear, Annabelle, Jordan, and the other girls, Brookie, son up in the choir, kicking out of the slats and coming out of that choir shouting and praising God.
Yeah.
And these little old toe-headed boys preaching and being missionaries, or at least coming to church. They don't have to preach if they'll just come to the house of God right in their soul in the will of God and be obedient. What God wants, ain't nothing like it, buddy. Vines around your table. Vines around your table. A fruitful vine and a vine around the table. Kids are feeding. What have you provided for them, Daddy? What are you providing for them? Mama, you got your place in the home? You fruitful? Daddy, do you fear God? Do you fear the Lord? You got a reverential trust of God? You're going to live for Him come hell or high water? You're just going with God? If you don't have that resolute in your heart, you can't have a happy, happy family. It'll take it. Stand together, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed.